Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethel this morning as we gather around God's grace, love, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We gather on the sixth Sunday of Easter, and today we're especially looking and seeing where is God leading the church? Where does he lead the church in mission? And we'll see that in Acts chapter 16 and how God leads Paul in mission. And we'll take that and start thinking about how does God keep leading us in mission. We're thankful for a special guest today. Lauren Riley is here from A Safe Place. She'll speak a little bit later in the service, just a little bit about how we can support people affected by domestic violence. She'll also be leading the Bible study today, and so we're thankful to have Lauren with us in worship. God's blessings on your worship, and we begin with our opening song, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. Please stand. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's strong name is our help, the same God who made heaven and earth. If you kept a record of our sins, O Lord, no one could survive. But you forgive us and so we worship you. We have come together today to hear God's word, pray to him and praise him, and receive the gifts of his forgiveness. So let us first admit that we're not worthy of his love. Let us confess to God and confess to each other that we've sinned. We are sinners in what we think, what we do, what we don't do, and there's no way out of this by our own actions. All we can do as God's people is to seek his mercy and forgiveness that comes to us through Jesus Christ. O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from the early church, Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, and concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the spirit of this mission reading from Acts, we sing the mission song, "Listen, God is Calling." I'll sing the leader portions, and you'll join in the other portions. Let us sing. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Jesus gave his mandate, share the good news, that he came to save us and set us free. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Let none be forgotten throughout the world. In the triune name of God, go and baptize. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Help us to be faithful, standing steadfast, walking in your precepts, led by your word. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Listen, listen, God is calling. Through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
A reading of the Eternal Kingdom, Revelation chapter 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, John, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me in the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city were pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord, the God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory onto it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no light. They will bring into it the glory of and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter in it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Now ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to remain standing for the hymn of the day. You may be seated. Lord, open now my heart to hear. And our reading from Acts chapter 16 definitely shows us how God opened Paul's heart to hear where God was sending him. And what I want to do is I want you to see that there is a series of three unlikelies in Acts 16. The unlikelies are this: the unlikely route, the unlikely mission, and an unlikely way to design a plan. And I am thinking that in those unlikelies in Acts chapter 16, that they give us some sense of the unlikelies God is working with when he uses us, gathered here at Bethel Lutheran in Gurnee, Illinois, the unlikelies that are part of how God is using us for his mission. So we're going to look at the unlikelies in Acts 16 and then see how those are similar to some unlikelies going on among us. But let's start with Acts 16. So it's an unlikely route. The verses you have in the reading today tell us even more about how Paul and his companions were on an unlikely route. It seems that they were probably headed maybe to Colossae, maybe to Ephesus, going back there, and they went through the whole region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, meaning Asia Minor. So they kept being, they should have turned left at some point, but God kept preventing them from turning left. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. They attempted to turn right, and that didn't work either. Not north, not south. They had to keep going. And so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. This route, it's a very unlikely route. It's like Paul and his companions, it's like they were saying, hey, let's head for the back corner of the gym. And they start off this way, and God keeps, you know, they're like this, and then like, nope, oh, God's not going to, no, we'll go this way. Nope, okay, maybe we'll go this way. Nope. And instead of the back corner, they end up way over here. And now they're wondering, well, why did you bring us here, God? We ran out of road. Except they didn't run into a wall of a gym. They ran out of road because they ran into the Aegean Sea, the sea between Turkey and the Greek peninsula. They're out of road. This is an unlikely route. So they're saying, now what, God? You blocked a lot of paths. Now what? So they're standing there at the shore, and it wasn't where they were meant to go, and it wasn't really anywhere on the road that they had imagined taking. And it might have seemed like an unlikely place to launch the next step in the mission of the church. But you see, the reader who heard the book of the Acts, when they first heard that in the early church, after Luke wrote this book about the early church, when they heard that Paul and his companions end up in Troas, they would have realized that it's a city just 10 miles south of the ruins of Troy. You heard of Troy? The Trojan War? Homer? The Iliad? Okay, now this is, they're kind of thinking, okay, why are they in that region? The full name of Troas was Trojan Alexandria. It was named for Alexander the Great because he came through the port on his great campaign to create the Greek Empire. It seemed like an unlikely location, and when the readers heard the story, they would have been thinking, why would you launch a mission from there? But that's where the scene was, and that is some of the kind of thoughts that maybe Paul went to sleep with that night. Why are we in this town at the end of the road? And so he goes to sleep. It's an unlikely route. Next, it's an unlikely mission. When Paul receives the message, the direction for the next phase of the mission, it's through a vision that appears to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And before we consider why that's such an unlikely mission, we have to realize that for the people of Paul's day and the people reading Luke's account in Acts, they would not have seen the vision itself as unlikely. Today, we're rather skeptical about people receiving visions or getting direction from God in dreams. We're reluctant to give full weight to thoughts or directions based on someone's vision or dream experience. So that part might really seem unlikely to us, but that's not the unlikely part of this for the early Christians, the first readers of Acts. They took it for granted that God spoke in visions and dreams. So for Paul to receive direction through a vision, well, for them, that was certainly no different than an angel coming to Joseph in a dream and telling him, take Mary home to be your wife and call the baby Jesus. God's been at work in a lot of different ways through dreams and visions, so that part isn't unlikely for them. So let's set that aside for a moment. But the message in this vision is unlikely, especially for those first readers. Macedonia. It wasn't on any of Paul's original itineraries. And this wasn't just the next town down the road. This was Macedonia, the upper part of Greece. This was leaving behind Asia Minor, the landmass, kind of the Turkey area, crossing over the Aegean Sea, crossing to the Greek peninsula, crossing to Europe. This is an unlikely mission because it wasn't anything they had planned on. Also, probably when they thought of the typical Macedonian, Paul and his group probably weren't thinking that they were standing over there waiting, asking for someone to come over and tell them about Jesus. That seemed unlikely that they were saying, "We want to know about the Messiah, the Savior out of the Jewish scriptures." That wasn't Macedonia's heritage. But that was the vision anyways. Come over and help us. Which leads to the third unlikely. It's an unlikely route on an unlikely mission, and it's an unlikely way to design a plan. This plan of going to Troas and launching across the water to get to Macedonia, this wasn't anything like Paul had planned. When you set out to travel, you normally have a good idea of where you are headed, how long you'll be gone, what kind of clothes to pack for the weather, how many pairs of underwear you need to take, and what Rosetta Stone courses you need to take to learn the languages. That's how you plan. And this whole thing of God keeping Paul and his company from going where they thought they were going and then sending a vision of an unlikely mission over in Macedonia, this is a very unlikely way to design a plan. And yet here's God doing just that. With the result that God knew exactly who Paul would find when they eventually got to Macedonia and got to Thyatira. They would find Lydia worshiping among a few other Jews. And Lydia would be a woman who was open to the gospel, who had the means to support Paul and his team, who would be known as the first convert to Jesus in Europe. It was an unlikely way to design a plan, but here God was doing just that so that he could launch his church, his gospel, into Europe. So that's the series of unlikelies. It's an unlikely route, unlikely mission, unlikely way to design a plan. And now when thinking about those unlikelies and how they might relate to us, we're not going to assume we're on some parallel journey where everything about Paul's remarkable missionary journey in the early days of the church, where all of that will line up one for one exactly what God is doing here in Gurnee. I'm not going to take that jump. But I think we can take these unlikelies from Acts chapter 16 and we can ask, what unlikelies are present for us as a gathering of disciples now, here? Unlikely route. Paul and his company were on a route they had not planned on, and a route that didn't go as they expected. Have any of you at some point arrived here at Bethel Lutheran in Gurnee due to an unlikely route? You didn't expect to end up in Gurnee. You didn't expect to be part of Bethel. You didn't expect to be in a Lutheran church. I know for me, it seemed unlikely that I'd ever be serving as a pastor in Gurnee. Because all I ever knew was that I'd pass the exit on 94, seeing Six Flags and Gurnee Mills, visiting once to both tourist places, once being enough, I thought. I never imagined living here. I didn't even really imagine anyone living here. Well, it's just Six Flags and Gurnee Mills. What else is there, right? Let alone the church two blocks down the street. It was an unlikely route that brought me here. What about you? And it seems like an unlikely place to launch a mission. I mean, what much could God really do among the land of shopping and roller coasters? So much attention is on Chicago, right? And Gurnee's just kind of on the outskirts, not really the center of attention. And at a Lutheran church, God's going to launch a mission there? That seems unlikely that God's using the Lutherans, sometimes we think. I mean, what could God really be launching here and doing for his mission? And when you start asking those questions, it is an unlikely route that brought you here. Is this an unlikely location for God's mission? When you're asking those questions, you're able to identify some of those things that do seem unlikely. Things that might make you dismiss the idea that God could really be doing something among us. That God is really paying attention to us here and wants to keep launching his mission here. These questions from Acts chapter 16, they help us to see that we're an unlikely group of people. We're forgiven and saved by Jesus from our sin, which means we start as sinners. We're an unlikely group of people. And we're people in an unlikely location, having arrived here through unlikely routes, yet God is launching us on a mission to share his love with others, to encourage others through God's word. And we might not have imagined it that it would happen that way. We might not have packed the right clothes or enough underwear, but here we are on this journey. And there's evidence in Acts 16 that unlikelies don't stop God. He's going to launch his mission anyway. And it's an unlikely mission. Once we've talked about unlikely route and location, it's an unlikely mission that he's got us on. Does it really seem like God is leading towards us towards the mission that we imagined? Or does it seem like God keeps putting us on paths that we never would have imagined, leading each of you in ways you didn't imagine he could use you for his gospel mission? I mean, doesn't it sometimes seem unlikely how God has been leading us more and more to understand how to help those in poverty, to partner with others, to support those who are underserved? Doesn't that seem unlikely? I mean, after all, we might assume something completely different about what a church needs to do to be successful. Congregations who experience rapid growth, we think, are often connected with areas of rapid growth, the edges of the suburbs. So we might assume that we have to direct our attention somewhere west. Wherever they have new housing developments, let's go chase them. And yet here we are, God opening doors for us to serve the poor, to walk alongside those in need, to be planted here in our changing communities. And again, doesn't it seem like God is leading Bethel towards missions we never imagined? Like the way we're focusing more and more on discipleship, building up relationships among one another, focusing on building relationships with people in our lives, slowly looking for ways to have spiritual conversations and loving people for the long haul, not knowing if that will mean that they will ever join our congregation, but seeing that it's more important to be their friends and encourage them about believing in Jesus, being in his kingdom. I see us growing more and more in that discipleship mission, but it seems unlikely, like something we wouldn't have planned. Because it's not a come-to-church kind of thing. It's not about making our church services more exciting and attractive. It's not even really about growing our church. It's an unlikely mission of disciples making disciples. Disciples walking along with other disciples. Disciples loving people who don't yet know Jesus. We've got an unlikely route on an unlikely mission, and it's an unlikely way to design a plan. This plan of being here in Gurnee and launching a discipleship focus. This wasn't anything I had planned, and I don't think it's anything you had planned. It's certainly not where I thought we'd be 5 years ago. If I was going to write a book about these last 5 years, I could not start the book with this sentence. When I was called to Bethel Lutheran in Gurnee, I saw that I needed to have us on a plan that would lead us toward greater discipleship, where individual growth and faith would be our focus, and within 5 years, have a congregation embracing that as the focal point of our mission. I couldn't start a book that way, because that would be a huge lie. I didn't see that coming. Just as Paul couldn't have started a book that said, all along I was headed towards Macedonia and this woman I knew named Lydia. It's the same with us. We don't see where he's taking us. It's an unlikely way to design a plan. Leaders are supposed to know where we're going, and yet here God keeps directing us ways that we wouldn't have planned, and God is okay with that. It's an unlikely way to design a plan, but it's God's way. And it has been his way for a long time. God uses unlikely people on unlikely routes and in unlikely places to launch unlikely missions according to his unlikely plans. Let me say that one more time. God uses unlikely people on unlikely routes and in unlikely places to launch unlikely missions according to his unlikely plans. And that's us. You may feel like you're on an unlikely route in an unlikely location, but God's affirming that this is how he works. He's not really asking us whether we think this sounds good. Instead, people of Bethel, he's saying that he will use you for the sake of his gospel, for the sake of the people around you, so that they also know the gospel. He's the one at work, but he chooses you, unlikely people, and me, unlikely people, to be part of his surprising mission. Amen. Our prayer requests and offerings are now received. In our prayer requests, we pray for the Go Gurney Challenge, the walking challenge. The kickoff is tonight at 6 o'clock at Viking Park. I see a number of Go Gurney champion shirts around, the blue shirts. You want to stand up if you're wearing your champion shirt? I know, you really love me now for making you stand up. All right, so those are the Go Gurney champions around here. There's many others of you who have taken this challenge, the village, to walk every night at 6:30. We have 13 of 30 days covered to have welcome teams in front of Bethel. It will take more, but it is tremendous that a number of you have said, yeah, we'll be out there. We'll welcome people and get to know people in the neighborhood as they walk. So let's pray for that. We'll also pray, give thanks with Linda Peters. She had successful surgery. Don Winkler is now at Warren Bar in Lincolnshire. Randy Kitlinski had a portion of his leg amputated. He's in a hospital in Louisiana. We also pray for those in grief, including Ellen Dalrymple and her family, mourning for Ellen's brother, Stephen. Also, the family of Beverly Richards. Beverly was our first client at SE. Maybe you saw the email this week, and she passed away a week ago. Other prayers we have today. Pray for healing for Wayne Harmon, brother-in-law of Dave and Cheryl Ross. Wayne is back in the hospital. And also, we pray for Lucy, Gurney Meadows resident. She's 99 years young, as Rod Threadgill wrote. Lucy is hospitalized at Lake Forest Hospital with respiratory problems. Are there other prayers that we can offer this morning? Yes, Ellie. Sorry, what? Tony Young's birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Tony. This coming Tuesday? All right. He's appropriately blushing. All right, so we give thanks for Tony Young's birthday. Sam? All right, we'll pray for Owen Squires, who's celebrating a birthday in 12 days. What? Oh, right, thank you. And Rhoda Bergman, we found out, is also hospitalized, so we pray for Rhoda. Any other prayers? All right, then before we continue with the service, I'm going to invite Lauren Riley to come forward, share with us a little bit about A Safe Place, and then we can also pray for A Safe Place. Lauren serves as a kind of part-time counselor with A Safe Place and also is working to develop connections with the churches. So thanks for being here, Lauren.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Can everybody hear me? All right. Pastor Ben just asked me to talk a little bit about who a safe place is, what we do, and then a little bit about how you can be involved if you would like to be involved. Again, my name is Lauren. I was a part-time therapist there for a little while. Now I'm working as some relief, just kind of filling in as needed. And so I want to tell you a little bit about our agency. Our agency, we are, those of you who don't know, we are the sole provider of domestic violence services that exclusively addresses domestic violence in Lake County. There are other agencies that address domestic violence, but we exclusively address domestic violence. And we provide a comprehensive range of services. So some of these include shelter. We have individual and group counseling, both for domestic violence victims and their children. And then we also provide transitional housing, permanent housing. We provide donations, just different things like that. We also have a room at the courthouse called D100. Our employees there help with orders of protection and advocate for clients, go with clients in front of the judge and things like that to be able to help them in that tough decision and transition. So we have different services. We also have an abuser intervention program. This is to help further prevent abuse and violence in Lake County. This is called IPDAV. It's IPDAV, and it's in Waukegan. Most of our clients there are mandated. However, we do have some that come on their own accord. And then we also send people out, such as I'm here today, we send people out into the community to educate on domestic violence, to just make aware to the community what domestic violence is, what we do to help those, and what you can do as well to help those in need. So I have a little pamphlet here with me today. I'm going to have these back in the fellowship room if you would like one of these, but they have our crisis line number in it. It also has some other resources as well, but our crisis line is what you can always call if you or someone that you know is in need of our services. You can call, ask questions, you can call and just talk to someone about your situation that you're going through or a friend is going through. So that's always the number that you can call. That's also on our website. Website, you can just Google us, or it is www.asafeplaceforhelp.org. So you can always visit our website to learn more as well. And then just a little bit about, you know, if you would like to be a part of a safe place and help us out, we are always looking for volunteers. We are a very volunteer and intern-based organization, and they're just awesome. So we have a lot of volunteers. We have a lot of interns who help us out. Some of the ways that you can volunteer are direct service with clients. You can help with some of the children's groups that we have. You can volunteer at D100, our room at the courthouse, to be able to help with the paperwork for the order of protection, go with clients in front of the judge while they're doing that. You can also help in a way such as indirect services, such as, you know, painting, paperwork, you know, different filing, things like that. And so the volunteers and interns who help with direct service, who help directly with clients, have to go through a 40-hour training. You can find out more information about that as well. And then another big way to help is through donations. We do have on our website, we have a wish list for different items that we use on a regular basis that we need for our shelter, our transitional living program. And then we also have a holiday store, which has been an awesome resource for our clients that we have. A lot of clients that come to us are trying to get back on their feet financially. And so we have a holiday store to be able for them to shop for their kids and for themselves during Christmas for free, and also for their kids' birthdays and things like that. So that's been an awesome resource, and we get a lot of wonderful donations for that too. So I wanted to just make those things aware. That wish list is on our website. If you have any more questions, I'm going to be in the fellowship area after this service today. I would be happy to answer any questions that you have. If I don't know the answer, I will get the answer for you. So thank you again for letting me come today.
Let's pray for Lauren, and then stick around for Bible study because she'll have a lot more to share with us. Two other things. I mean, we got to know Lauren a few months ago when a few of us needed some help and support trying to know how to support a family. So we got to know her, and a couple of great things is, as you can tell, she's not from here. She's from Kentucky. It's an unlikely route to Gurnee, Illinois, but that's great. And then also she's a sister in Christ, and so it's really wonderful how we can see those connections as well. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd continue to be with the Safe Place. We thank you for the work that you do through them to support many who have experienced domestic violence, who need support during that time or are trying to support others. also intervening with abusers. And we pray that you'd continue that work to support and guide them. We thank you for Lauren and others who are dedicating their time and their expertise to this area. And we pray that you would also help us to see how we can partner in that and also have ways to point to the hope that we have in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's continue in singing the offertories printed. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father,
by whom all things
were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for this day and for all the blessings that you give to us. Help us to recognize the ways that you are blessing us. We give you thanks this day for Linda Peters' successful surgery, for Tony Young's birthday this week, and for Owen Squires and his birthday in 12 days. Lord, we give you thanks for these blessings and many others. Help us to see that from your hand come all good gifts. Lord, we ask that you would be with the Go Gurney challenge in our village as many people are out and walking in this month. We also ask that you'd be with our welcome teams out in front of Bethel. May they have opportunities to get to know neighbors and to help our neighborhood to see that we are planted here for a reason, that we want to serve this community. And in the course of that, may they also see the joy that we have in you. Lord, we ask that you'd be with many who are struggling in health. There are many that we continue to name before you. Specifically today, we ask that you'd be with Rhoda Bergman as she's hospitalized, Randy Kitlinski as he recovers from the amputation, Don Winkler now at Warren Barr, Joanne Heidloff continuing to wait for a safe clearing of the blood clot in her left arm. We also ask that you would be with Lucy from Gurney Meadows, that you'd watch over her in the hospital. Provide her healing very soon, Lord. Also be with Sarah Kaiser's father, who's been hospitalized, and be with the Kaiser family as they support him. Also be bringing healing for Dave and Cheryl Ross's brother-in-law, Wayne. He's back in the hospital. Lord, bring healing for him. Lord, there are many others that we name before you and ask that you continue to bring healing according to your will. Be with those in grief, including Ellen Dalrymple and her family, mourning for her brother Stephen, and also the family of Beverly Richards. We thank you that in both of these situations, we know that we can come to you for support and encouragement. And I thank you for Beverly Richards, especially as able to use that time of the funeral to give witness to her faith, to the ways that she encouraged her family in that faith. Lord, and continue to be with us in all the concerns on our hearts. We give these prayers to you in the mercy of Jesus. Amen. We continue with the order of the Lord's Supper, and if you're visiting with us today, we invite you to commune with us if you have been baptized and have been instructed, and believe as we do that the bread is the body of Christ, and the blood is the wine is the blood of Christ, this real presence for the forgiveness of sins. If this is a new teaching to you, or different than the confession that you hold, we ask that you wait to commune until we've had more of a chance to talk, but to come forward, to kneel at the rail, cross your arms, and receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We pray. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. I invite you to continue to stand and join in singing the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God.
Thank you.
Please stand. Before the dismissal, will you join in singing stanzas 1 and 4 of the closing hymn? Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Well, blessings to you today. A reminder, come on down to the fellowship hall and find out more about a safe place, especially during Bible study. Next week, we are in need of a lot of help for the cool plant sale. The truck arrives at 6:30 a.m. to start unloading the plants here in the parking lot. So please, if you're able to be here and help unload trucks, that's mainly the help you need, or do you need help all morning? All afternoon. So if you are able to help with the plant sale, please see Carol Cook. Speaking of Carol Cook, I just wanted to mention one thing. Now, Carol is our disciple care coordinator, and speaking of unlikely plans, we had no idea exactly what disciple care coordinator was going to be. But since then, she is a tremendous help to me, to the elders, and this congregation in helping us make sure that we are caring for one another. And I want you to recognize that she made a disciple care move by being here all of the time during all the directory photos so that she could check in on all of you. That is a disciple care coordinator, and that is tremendous. Finally, one last note. Friday is Micah Solosseri fundraiser at Panera. There are flyers on the hub. If we run out, we'll get those flyers out this week too, because you do need to turn in the flyer and Panera will make a donation towards the Leukemia Foundation. So that's this Friday, anytime during the day, which is tremendous. God's blessings. I look forward to greeting you at the door.